Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, hello and welcome to In the Pocket. My name's Santa, I mean Johnny.
And my name's Buddy the Elf.
Two totally average bass players, and we're here to talk all about that bass. As well as answering your questions at home, each week we take a look at the latest news and break down some tones, all to give you the lowdown on the low end. Chris, my friend, it is Christmas. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Mr. Dibble. Tis the season to do an alarmingly large amount of covers gigs. How are you?
Absolutely. You're very busy gigging, right? Yeah. You've got one later today. You had two in one day the other day and
yeah.
Then Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So I did the week before I did about four, maybe five in a row. Then the week after I did two in one day. Then today, time of recording, we're recording this in the morning, and then about 3 hours from now, I need to jump in my car and do another gig. And then I have nothing until New Year's Eve, which is very nice. However, this is the second time now this particular covers band have gone, right, we're all good, mate. We'll see you on New Year's Eve. Have a good Christmas. We've said goodbye. We've hugged. And then 2 days later, they've rang me going, don't suppose you're free on Wednesday, are you?
Oh, God.
But don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy. I'm very happy for the income. I'm very happy for the work. But I've not even watched Muppet's Christmas Carol yet, mate. I'm absolutely stacked.
Man's behind.
I am. I've not watched Love Actually yet. I've not watched The Holiday. I haven't watched The Grinch. I haven't watched The Polar Express. Muppet's Christmas Carol is reserved for Christmas Day, I would like to add.
Oh, okay.
Tradition and we've not watched year. My favourite Christmas movie, which is Jingle All the Way.
Oh, yes,
put that cookie down.
Do you know what, that would be an amazing prop for the background, wouldn't it? Just a Turbo Man.
Oh,
you've got to be able to get those, right? Although is that the point, they're very scarce.
Yes, exactly. My favorite moment of that film by far, and it literally is burned in my brain as like my inner child, is right near the end where he sneaks backstage and accidentally gets put in the Turbo Man costume.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes up on the floor. It's amazing.
That's the only bit I remember. Honestly, like, I've watched that
film really?
Once, I remember.
Do you not remember?
I remember loving it. I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, you need to rewatch it. Do you not remember the bit where, like, he points at his son and goes, Jamie! Do you remember that bit either? And he's like, he knows my name. This could easily be a Jingle All The Way special. As a big Batman fan, I can very easily resonate. I can swap out Batman for Turbo Man, disassociate, and have a great time.
What about a combination of the two? If
a crossover.
Schwarzenegger was Bruce Banner?
Bruce Banner, Bruce close Wayne. Enough, close enough. Well. He was Bruce Forsyth.
Oh, God.
aside from that, how have you been? I feel like, I know we talk pretty much every day, I feel like I've not spoken to you in ages.
I know. Well, it's because we did the Ian episode last week. By the way, thank you, everyone that's checked us out in the meantime.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely lovely. We recorded that one a bit early. So this one is naturally like a week late. And then we're doing it later again, you know. So it's been too long, my friend.
Mm.
And, you know, we will take a bit of a break over Christmas, I imagine. So then it might feel like even longer. But, you know, it'll be good times when we come back together. Good times indeed. And like I said, we'll talk every day.
Absolutely.
Don't you
worry. Without fail.
Yes. In today's episode, it is Christmas. I don't know if you could tell. It is Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
But it's crisis time. Help. We are going to be going through the latest news. We haven't done that for a little while. We've got lots to catch up on. Then we are going to be talking about some of our favourites of the year, whether that's bass players, tones, pedals, basses, etc. And then Father Christmas will be making an appearance as Chris will be reading him your Christmas lists. We put out a post on Instagram, or Father Christmas came in and put out a post requesting you guys to comment down below what you would like for Christmas. What base-related items would you like this year? So we're going to read through some of those. So make sure you go and follow us on at In The Pocket Pod on Instagram to be in the chance of, you know, getting involved with these types of things, as well as asking questions, suggesting guests, etc. Without further ado, shall we crack on to some news?
Let's crack on some news. We were discussing about this the other day. I get all of my base news from you.
I like to think that I am the base news guru that, like, everyone gets it from.
You know, what's his first from Newsround? I can't remember his first name. Lisa Nazimba
yes.
From Newsround? What?
Yes,
You're the Geffen Jones of base.
Well, I'm quite close to Wales, so...
You are actually quite close to Wales. Are you closer to Bristol than Wales, though?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, right, okay. Because they're really close, aren't they? God, I really should know this.
Yeah. A stone throw from my work, from when I work, I can see Wales.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
That's good to know.
History building, baby. Yeah, I know.
Come to Brazil.
Right. Let's crack on. I'm going to share my screen now. If you are not watching the video version of this, what are you doing? No, please don't go. But we are sharing what we're seeing here, what we're talking about. So we'll try and not talk about too much what we can see. So for the audio listeners, it's okay. But yeah, if you want to check it out, you bloody can. Okie dokie. We're going to start things off in the world of Mark Base. Now, Chris, what do Mark Base make?
Bases. Base amps.
Base amps, yes. Sorry, I've spoiled things it for, by sharing my screen.
Things for people called Mark.
the guy, if you know any bass players called Mark out there, please go and tag them in this.
Mark
in this
King.
Post. Yeah.
Mark Corrigan.
Wow, I wish. Oh, to be fair, I think he would play the bass, right?
Mark Corrigan's a bass player. If Jez is a keyboard player,
yeah.
Mark Corrigan is, I would say Mark Corrigan is the quintessential bass player.
He's absolutely not going to be a guitarist.
No, because that's obviously Superhands or Johnson.
Yes. Well, he could be... the thing is, Mark Corrigan's probably more of a clarinet or trumpet guy. But
he'd be a classical guy. He'd be a big band guy, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Or he's in the pit on a musical. You know?
He's a pit man. As a very, very quick side note, I watched the... Wonka film the other day.
Oh.
And one of the villains in it is the same guy who played Johnson in Peep Show.
Yeah.
And he's nothing like Johnson, obviously. Yeah. He's an actor. But I honestly couldn't take anything he was saying. Just started laughing uncontrollably every time he walked on screen. It's like Project Zeus. Anyway, I'm sorry. Please, I've derailed this wonderful news segment. Please continue.
That's okay.
With
that's okay.
Marky
that's
Mark
what,
Bass.
That's what the people are here for.
The Mark Marky Wahlberg Mark signature series
have released these new Navigator F1 basses. Don't these look cool? It's a P bass pickup with a stop spinning round. I'm trying to show the people and a humbucker in the bridge. Classic. Can't like this combo. Active preamp on board. I believe it's all. Their own stuff, and then is it EMG preamp, I think, built into this one?
Oh, okay.
Very, very cool. I don't love the body shape. I really like the headstocks, though. Or do you?
I like both. It's kind of giving me a bit of like a... Obviously, it's a double cutaway kind of design. It's giving me a bit of that like... I feel like I'm gonna mispronounce the word now. Is it Aria? Is it Aria?
Yeah, Aria.
Which one is
it?
Is it Aria? It's giving me a bit of that, like, you know, 90s active turbo bass kind of vibes. Love the headstock. Love the headstock, especially with that bit where they've taken a bit of the body color and put it on the bottom, like that one there, the natural wood finish burst, where they've included that design again up at the top of the headstock.
That's
cool.
Yeah,
also, if I was going to have a custom bass made, I genuinely think I would have some sort of stacked or sort of stacked single coil / humbucker kind of like two single coils back by the bridge and then a P pickup. 100%.
Nice.
So then I've got
the
option of like
splitting it.
Like a PJ, a P, a music man, that kind of thing. Like that is what I do. So this looks pretty sick. I'm not gonna lie. I was just gonna say, I wish the black one had a maple neck. And it does.
And it does. There is a version. Yeah, I do like the maple ones more when it, how it kind of blends into the headstock there. I think it's very cool.
What do you think? Visually, I'm a big fan of this.
Yeah, well, it was really striking, first of all, on like more appearances. It's these horns I don't love so much. They're like that 90s Aria stuff. I don't love that. But I don't hate this. It's not egregious and it's not offensive.
It's not diabolical, is it?
No. But it's okay. It's fine. It's all good in the hood. Should we move on to the next bit of news? I don't know how much those are, by the way. They haven't.
Oh, I was
really...
just about to ask. Are these American made, Chinese made, Indonesian, something like that?
That's a question. That is a question.
I was going to say that's going to dictate the price. But when we did the Troy Sanders model and realized it was a Mexican made instrument for 1700 quid. And we were both absolutely outraged. And I'm looking at you, music man. Let's not talk about that dart ray.
No, I'll go there again. I'm coming away from the mic a little bit because I have to lean over to my keyboard to type this in. So I'm going to find out for the people. Last time I checked, it wasn't on their website.
Okay, and it probably still isn't. This is dead air.
This is good. This is good stuff.
This is peak content.
Good. Wow. No, it's still not on their website. Sorry.
Okay. Never mind. Time.
Maybe we'll cut that. Maybe we won't bother. Next news, please. Here we go. The band Sleep Token, whether you're a fan or not, bass player has released a new model with Charvel. Bloody hell. If you don't know, Sleep Token are this anonymous metal band with a really distinct sounding vocalist. The bass player has been playing a Charvel San Dimas for a long time, along with a Warwick, and I think he's had P bass recently as well. Makes total sense that he's gone to Charvel for this custom model here. We've got like a stacked humbucker, so it's like two humbuckers in one in kind of a middle-ish and bridge position. Looks like a three-band preamp on board. I'm assuming a little toggle here. I'm guessing it's like toggle to go between the pickups, volume, bass, middle, treble, perhaps, or something like that.
No, I'm saying that's an active passive switch.
Could be.
Then there's a two-band EQ
and a volume,
bass
volume
and treble. Overall volume blend.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's cool.
Shot in the dark. I just know the friends I've got who have the Charvel San Dimas, it's a two-band preamp.
Is it?
If I remember correctly.
I played that
bass,
but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's two band. I remember when I got my music, man, everyone told me, it's like, oh, you'll never use all three bands. I'm like, you use all three bands all the time.
Yeah, you use
I'm all over that mid-range. Over it. Love it.
When I had the Sterling Ray 24, that is more vintage styled and that doesn't have the mid control.
Okay.
And I didn't miss it at that point.
Okay.
But I know what you mean. Like for the gigs you're doing as well, like sometimes you want that bit more poke.
Yeah, exactly. Mid-range. I'm always messing with either rolling the treble off and boosting the mid range all the other way around. I use it on the Dingwall a lot as well, but that's a bit more of a set and forget. Like I've got like a permanent 500 hertz dip because it's the dark glass preamp in there with the it's like 100 hertz 500 hertz 3k, which is very different to a lot of bass preamps, but it works really well. Amos Heller's just done a video using that preamp and it sounds really good.
Bloody
but anyway,
lovely.
I'm tangent o'clock today. I am so sorry. Please continue.
That's okay. Roasted maple neck on this one with a white finish, black hardware, and the reverse headstock, which I think is very cool. Is it like a Music Man style headstock, actually, with 3-in-1?
Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Have a look.
Yeah, look.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
I have two questions for you, Johnny, and we'll break this down into two sections. One, how do you feel about Sleep Token? Answer.
I really like them. I'm okay. a big fan. We missed out on tickets to the Wembley show.
My girlfriend was like going to go as well, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm a big fan. I really like the latest album, and I'm slowly now going back. How do you feel?
Not keen.
Not a keen Obino.
No, but I'm willing to try. So I've never... I had this playful debate with my other half the other day. I've genuinely never listened to a section of a Sleep Token song and gone, ooh, I like that. Like, genuinely, I've always just gone, I'd rather put Deftones on. Like, I've always done that. However, I'll watch drum covers of Sleep Token songs all day. Love that. Don't really care for the voice that much. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm not saying they're rubbish. Like, I'm not one of these people that goes, I don't like them, and that means they're bad. I don't mean that. I feel like I'm in the wrong. I listened to the new album in full, and I didn't love it on my first listen. I may revisit it, and then also I think I am going to go back and genuinely listen to their entire catalogue and then give it a definitive decision, because I didn't really feel like I liked Don Broke all that much. And then I sat and listened to everything and then went, okay, actually, I really like Don Broke, or I just don't really like the Automatic album, which is what I heard first.
That's like arguably one of their best.
Nah, every other album's better, in my opinion. In my opinion.
Yeah.
But anyway, go on, please continue.
What was it? You had another question.
I do. So now I've discovered your opinions on Sleep Token, I would like to know how do you feel about this bass? Because I have two strong points about it.
Yeah. Obviously, it's egregiously, this is a signature bass. And we've had this discussion before. And it's like, yeah, no, I would never, ever, ever buy this. I would never want this. Ridiculous. But for what it is and their band, I think it's very cool to have this custom model. And for them to have, I think it looks great. And it does look cool, I think. I don't love the big question mark here. I know that's his thing that he like puts on his hand. But I don't mind all this, and I think it suits the aesthetic that they're going for. So I think it suits them, and I think that's fine. But it's, you know, and on first look, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. But, like, it's not for me, and I know it's not for me, and that's okay.
Yeah, the more I look at this bass, the less I like it, which is annoying.
Get it off
because
my screen.
Exactly. Well, yes, which is annoying though, because it's like when you look at the specs, everything is a thumbs up. Everything, like, you know, the preamp sounds great. I love the idea of the pickups. The roasted maple neck is super cool. You know, I love the neck against the white of the body. The reverse headstock is super cool. Like, I love all these things, and then I see the Sleep Token logo, and I don't like it because I'm a very firm believer. I think it's because I listened to a podcast called Drum with Mike and Eddie, and they had a signature series episode where essentially it's Mike Johnston, who is kind of like the Scott's bass lessons for drums, is the easy way to describe him. And then the other guy is Eddie Froer, who's the Busted drummer. He was also in Lord Atlantis. They have an episode about signature series models. Mike Johnston has a few signature, like, I think he has some signature cymbals, some signature sticks, a few other things like that. His name isn't on any of the products at all. Like, if you don't like him, you can still buy that product and you don't have to feel like, oh, I'm a Mike Johnston fanboy. And he was talking about the business advantages of that, aka, if this wasn't covered in Sleep Token memorabilia, there's a chance I might buy it, because it looks, I think it's probably a really rock solid bass. But at the same time, Sleep Token are a very visual band, and I understand that. So that's probably why this is covered like that. It's like the Flea bass. The Flea bass doesn't have the word Flea all over it. You still know it's a Flea bass, obviously. But
the question I have
this
about
doesn't...
this.
Go on.
I don't know if it's a production model.
I hope it's a production model.
I don't know if it is. I mean, it says in the caption, the new custom bass. I don't know whether that means whether you can buy it or not. Not sure.
Yeah. Is that the Thingy showroom?
That is the Fender showroom, yeah.
Shout-out
floor.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a shame to me because I just feel like if it didn't have the question mark and the Sleep Token logo, that could genuinely be a absolute bomb-proof production model.
And that's why I was going to say, if they sold it, they should sell it without that.
Because yes, then they really should.
So well, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't think
it would sell well if they didn't do it. So if they left it, if they left the designs on it, I don't think it would do that well because essentially only Sleep Token fans would buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And they're quite a divisive band.
Oh, 100%, as we've already discovered on this podcast.
I don't know many people who go, yeah, they're okay.
Yeah, it's normally like, I flipping love them, or like,
yeah,
I hate them.
They are this generation's My Chemical Romance.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
Aren't they? Yeah. Because I remember when we were teenagers, My Chemical Romance was either they are the best band in the world, or they are a massive turd blossom.
And Lily and I were discussing last night, like, it's the same with Linkin Park, where like at the time people were like, they're not metal, new metal, no. And now they're just like so beloved, you know.
Limp Bizkit as well. It was either love it or hate them and stuff like that. Yep. I feel like Sleep Token have really captured that corner of, because they clearly have like a massive dedicated fan base. Like they sold that bloody Wembley Arena in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Mental.
Sleep Token karaoke.
Let's go. That's my impression. shall we move on to the next piece of news?
Let's do that.
We were talking about Music Man's and two-band preamps and stuff like that a minute ago. That seems like a very nice segue into the next bit of news, which is Music Man have brought out these new 70s-inspired basses. So it's just like a reissue of their kind of more vintage range of basses that they've got. And yeah, they've got it in the classic colours. Ridiculous price of $3,200. Wild. Music Man are just going wild now in their prices. Vintage Sunburst, black, white, and a natural, all with maple necks. I really like all of these finishes. I think they are the classic Music Man finishes and probably all my favorite ones. So that's all great. Comes with the bridge mutes that you get on the vintage ones. Two-band preamp. I think it's... Is it slab body? I think it is a slab body like you get. And then, you know, your three-point... What is it? Bridge thingamabob. And then a slimmer neck, which you normally get on the more vintage ones. So I think there's a real mix of, like, very strong points and then some not-so-strong points for me. But that's just me. Price aside... What do you think?
Price aside, it's pretty cool. My Music Man has an absolute slabber of a neck. So it's the biggest neck I own by far. A lot of girth on that wood. So it'd be cool to try it out with a slimmer neck. Mutes are cool. You know, the vintage throwback is very nice. The price, however, is unforgivable. That really is quite expensive.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I might be wrong about the neck, actually. The width is nearly a 43 mil. So that's quite wide, actually. So they might not have gone with the more...
Oh, never mind.
I always
thought
the slimmer necks was the vintage one, but it does look quite wide, actually.
I would have thought it would be the opposite way around. Unless it was a deliberate, like, response to the P bass. And they went, nah, tiny neck on this one, when they first came out.
Yeah, that's... I might be wrong, but that seems to be the thing that I always understood is that they had slimmer necks and then got bigger, and the modern ones are big. Because like the
right, okay. I've only ever played like one or two Music Mans ever, really, including mine.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can buy this natural one to go with yours.
Absolutely.
For the sweet price of $3,200. Wowie.
Or we can do a bit of insider trading and I can win your giveaway.
Oh my gosh, yes you can. And then you too can have a base worth not this much. Side note, if you guys want to win the Pete Wentz signature Stingray that I've reviewed on my channel, you can enter my competition that I'm running over on Instagram. So if you follow me at Johnny Dibble and follow the rules on that competition post that's pinned to the top of the profile, you might be able to win it. Who knows? good luck anyway, if you do decide to. But I'm giving it away. Should we move on to the next bit of news?
Let's do just that.
Amazing. Let's go on to this one next. So, oh no, I don't want that silly pop-up. So, ZZ Top, Dusty Hill, the bassist of ZZ Top, his famous 50s-style Fender P-Bass has sold for nearly £400,000, to be precise, $393,700. Gosh, reading and maths in one. That's about £313,000. If you didn't know. So, yeah, wild price that this has gone for. It's not the highest selling bass. Apparently, it's in this article reads that Paul McCartney's Yamaha BB sold in 2021 for £471,000. Wowee. So this is the second most expensive bass to be sold at auction. It was a 1953 Butterscotch Fender P. Like I said, I hope there's a close-up picture of it in this article. No, why would there be? Why would there be?
No, because why would there be? But there is a picture of Ozzy Osbourne in a jet. Because
this is the bass. Wowee. That would be a cheap bass, to be fair, if it feels like this. Gosh. And it was... it appeared on the cover of ZZ Top's 1975 album and has been used, you know, iconically by Dusty Hill on stage and in the studio. Pretty cool. For those that are big fans of ZZ Top, I imagine someone is very happy, or it's just going to end up in a museum somewhere. I don't know. They have not revealed who bought it, of course, but Dusty Hill died in 2021, age 72. Sad times on that one, but like, it's good that the bass has kind of gone on to a new home or is going to be remembered somewhere else. So pretty cool. There we go. Any comments on this one, Christopher?
It's probably going to end up in a museum, which is kind of a shame at the same time. Like, I was watching an interview with Kirk Hammett from Metallica the other day, who owns Peter Green's Les Paul. Which is like the Les Paul. I think he reportedly paid like just over $1 million for it.
Wow.
But he gigs it.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's the thing.
He plays like 10 songs a night with Metallica playing it. Yeah. And his argument was, I will use it until I'm gone, and then the next person will use it until they're gone. Like, they're sort of like passing the mantle of this guitar. So hopefully that kind of happens with this, maybe. I find that very unlikely, though, and it will probably sit in some sort of museum for a very, very, very long time, which is fine too. You know,
that's the
thing.
It's
not like I bought it. Maybe I did.
I think, oh my goodness. And now he's going to pop it out. No, don't pop that out. Oh my God. I think that, like, a museum is fine if it's going to like live on, be remembered and be like, oh, there it is, whatever. And it's going to be maintained. It's not good if it gets sold to someone who's just going to like treat it badly. But you know, the likelihood of that when someone's paying what £313,000 for it is very slim.
Yeah.
So it would be used by a proper artist, you know, or a huge artist to spend that on it. So I think it was probably gone to a good home, nonetheless. So yeah. There we go. Let's go very expensive to very inexpensive now. Harley Benton have brought out some more do-it-yourself kits, guitars, and a new bass as well. So if you wanted a Music Man Stingray from Harley Benton, but I don't want to spend that much, I want to make it my own even more, you can now do so with this lovely looking thing. My God, this is
this is
something.
I don't
think someone just left it like this. Jeez, so awful. My God, I don't love their Music Man style bass. I think it looks wrong. Like, this is too big over here. The back's too big.
I'm getting Uncanny Valley with a bass.
It's like this is, it was in The Simpsons or something, and this is what like they drew to look like Stingray.
It looks it looks like I've asked AI to make me Music Man bass.
It's gotten to the headstock and gone bleh.
Yeah, it's like that TikTok trend where it's like getting AI to expand my four tops.
Yeah.
Creepy.
And like the thing I don't understand is why would they do this? I guess they can't copy the headstock, can they? But yeah,
no, that would be. I imagine headstocks in particular are like quite aggressively trademarked.
Yeah, absolutely. And this one is, you can buy this whole kit for $137. I've had a few questions before, you know, obviously, before I go into that, you can like carve the headstock to how you want it to be. That's the point. It's not just meant to be like this, unless you want
would that. Be a flex.
It's absolute. If you sharpen that, you'd have like a cleaver. Cleaver pretty cool. I don't know. This doesn't interest me at all, like build kits and stuff like that. I don't love doing DIY at the best of times. Modding bases I like doing in small bits, but not like, I don't know, this doesn't attract me, basically. I wouldn't want to get involved with something like this. But, you know, if you do, then now you've got the chance to do it with one of their Stingray models as well. So, fair enough. Fair enough. Would you ever buy a kit and go from there?
I don't think I would. To be honest, I'm not saying I won't change my mind in the future, but up until this point, I've never looked at a kit, anything, and gone, oh, you know what? I'll give that a go. Like the closest thing I get to kit stuff is building Lego, and even then, that's not quite the same as. I just think it's a lot of work for what it is, and even when, also like even if you were really good at making something like this. Will it be any good in the end?
Well, you're going to put... I don't know, because the foundations of a Harley Benton are normally pretty good. And they just need new hardware or, like, some new electronics or something to, like,
to be
Yeah,
because I was going to say, yeah, if you bought this and then went, well, I'm going to swap out the pickup and the electronics for something better anyway, and but, let's say this person is really good at setups, I imagine you could probably make a pretty sick base. But then... money and time versus end result, how much better is this going to be than, say, like one of the sub-range, for example, which is not that much more, really.
Not really. And
I mean, it's twice the price
money,
minimum, but
money
still.
Versus time and effort, you know, you've got to weigh those things
yeah
up,
exactly
like,
it's like you
and
know,
some people
yeah.
might love that process, but yeah, for me, if you're gonna do something like this, I would much rather just buy a used one and then mod it. But then this one, I suppose the advantage of this is you can do even more custom stuff like the headstock, and the body is unfinished. So it's like a blank canvas, essentially.
True. You can stain it yourself and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm going to use that blank canvas as an excellent segue onto the next bit of news, if that's okay.
Oh, very nice. Very nice indeed.
Because we have got the new canvas tuner
from
Warus Audio.
I want one. I really want one.
I really want one too. I messaged them straight away, like, please, I love one.
Can I review this tuner?
Yeah. But I think it's great. Like, it just looks super nice, first of all. It is a tuner. It does just do the tuning. But it's a really simple, like, this is the things I love, like, really small innovations that just, like, make a difference. Like, as long as you're different tuning modes, etc., you can have it on its side. Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, brilliant. No, why is no one else doing
well,
that?
My tuner is technically on its side as well.
Yeah, but like, it doesn't rotate, right?
No. So the main tuner I use, if it's a gig I'm going wireless, I use the Shure GLX wireless, which has a tuner as well. Yeah. But if I'm running a gig with the Ant as well, the Ashdown Ant, I need to stick the pedal on its side.
Yeah.
And it's fine. I can still tune at the end of the day. But the fact that you can just rotate it and then set it to look like that is obviously, it's very Apple of them, if you know what I mean. Like, here's this feature that you never thought of, but now you can't live without.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, damn. Yeah, that is worth $150.
Wow. Are we going to move on to the best feature about it?
Absolutely, we are. I'm hoping they've got a picture of it here. They don't, but but you can set a picture as like the background for when it's off. So when you're not tuning, yes. I'm desperately fighting to see if they've got a thing. I don't even think they have it in this video, but that is an incredible, incredible feature that you can just like set a picture of Shrek to be on whilst the tune is off, or just like have some crazy meme on there. It's just like so much fun. I love that.
What would you what would you set if you had to pick a picture? What would you what would you set it to?
Perhaps Arnold as Turbo Man.
Not bad. I was gonna say Spoder Man,
pointing,
or salad fingers.
Oh yes,
and rusty spoons and bass.
Oh God.
Wow, for those of you who don't know who that is, don't go looking for it.
Yep. No, your brain chemistry will be forever changed.
Yep. Yep. There's a reason why me and Johnny are like this, and that's why.
But yeah, I think it's great fun. And I'd really like one because I think it's, you know, looks great, utilitarian, and is fun. And
I would like
how
one
to make
too.
A tuna.
How to make a tuna fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Let us move on to I think it's the final piece of news now, and I think it's a doozy. I've not seen many people weirdly talking about this. And it is the brand new signature bass from Charles. Yeah. It's Berthoud, isn't it? I can never remember.
I have absolutely
how to say
no
his
idea.
Name.
I know who this is, but I have absolutely no idea how to pronounce his name. I didn't even know his name for like the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, if you don't know, he's that incredible bass player. And YouTuber from the UK, Johnny Dibble. No, Charles. We'll say Charles. I can't remember how to pronounce his surname. It's
Charles
either Berthoud
Xavier
or Berthoud. I think it's Bert, but there we go. He has got a new signature bass with Schecter. I think this is a really good pairing. I've seen him playing loads of Schecters before. And this just looks like a solid high end Schecter, really. It's not doing anything crazy different or new. This is Charles here. If you don't recognize him, if you don't know his name, you definitely recognize him from seeing videos on the internet for sure.
If you don't know his name, you know his thumb. Absolutely.
Yes, I've seen it moving rapid many a times. It is a £1,500 signature bass. It also comes in a left-handed version. It's called the CB4, so it's a four string. And it's, you know, classic. This is EMG loaded, EMG preamp as well to match. And it is a volume blend and three band preamp. So nothing crazy wise specs, but yeah, it's a very pretty bass. All black hardware. Much more to say. I really look at that. That's mad. Very, very nice. All like neck through design with the wings attached on. I really like that he's gone for this kind of like transparent brown, I suppose. With the wood, it just looks like supernatural, and it's one of those like Schecters that if this had like a flame maple and was like red, it would be horrible and be like too metal,
too Schecter.
Yes, exactly. And my personal favorite Schecters are the ones that don't look egregiously like a Schecter. They're not like associated with metal, because I think, you know, I love Schecter. I think they're brilliant. So I think this is a good kind of middleman version of that. So yeah. Very, very cool. You can go and check out the specs on their website. It's pretty standard stuff, I'd say, though. Grover tuners, and seeing if there's anything else worth saying. I think so. Ash body, like flame maple top.
24 frets.
24 frets, rosewood fretboard. Yeah, very, very cool indeed. What do you think about this?
No complaints, to be honest. It looks like a solid bass. And again, this comes back to exactly the same point I mentioned about the Sleek Token bass. Charles's name is not on this. Well, it is, but it's not going to be. It's not plastered on the fretboard or anything like that. So you could want nothing to do with the guy. Try the bass and go, oh, I actually really like this. And then pick it up and, you know, you're good to go.
You wouldn't be mistaken for thinking this is just a stock Schecter as well. It's not totally out of their wheelhouse that this is just what it would look like.
No, absolutely. And I feel like from a business perspective, that's the way to go. Like if I was very privileged to have a signature model with a company, I would not put my name on it. I think at the very most, my name would go on like the underside of the back plate or something, something like that. Or there might be an initial on the back of the headstock, if that.
Yeah. Initial, just
and a big picture of my face on the front.
Yeah, Surge. Of course.
I think it should be like, you know, like one of those sparkle pillows that you can get and you brush them and then it will reveal like Danny DeVito's face or something.
Yes.
You should have that on your signature base. It just reveals your face one way and then it's like the Mikey Way sparkle the other way.
Nice. Very nice.
That'd be sick.
We're going to talk about that Mikey Way sparkle again later on in this episode.
Spoilers. Let's move on to that section now, shall we? Okay. It is the end of the year, which means I think we need to give out some kind of awards or something like that to recognize the successes of the year, failures of the year, perhaps. Just to take a look at what has happened this year. We've got a couple of categories that we've spoken about a little bit. I just thought of another one that I didn't really include. I might throw in an honourable mention when we get to the last one.
Ooh, okay. But
we're going to kick things off, Chris, with the most exciting release of the year. So when I say release, I mean like a product. So this could be anything kind of base related, or anything base related, basically, what you would consider to be the best release of the year. Have you got any ideas? What are you thinking?
I have an answer. I've prepared an answer. Would you like me to go first?
Yes, please.
My most exciting release of the year is the Line 6 HX Stomp.
Question mark.
What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. My most exciting release of the year is the update that Line 6 did to the HX Stomp. In fact, they have done two updates this year. Am I right? The first one in particular was the addition of things like the vintage style Octaver, you know, a bit more of an OC2 vibe over the kind of like poggy tone that you got originally. And then they kind of hit us again with the second one, which introduced the Noble preamp, Noble style preamp, allegedly. And was there something else in there that I remember
there
correctly?
The orange AD200.
There we go.
And the Fender Bassman, which is my favorite. I really like all three of those additions, and I've got a setup now in my HX Stomp, which is the Fender Bassman and the Noble DI, and like, it's really, really good. So big fan of this new release. I think it's an excellent choice.
Lovely. And Neural DSP, do better.
Moving on. What does the DSP stand for?
Doesn't something product.
Doesn't support players.
Oh no, they do. They just not bass players in any way, shape, or form. Which is very exciting. Well, at time of recording, they have a new plugin coming out or a new thing today.
It comes out. Oh, is it today? Is it? Yeah, I got an email.
Yeah, I think it comes out about an hour, and words cannot begin to describe how not excited I am.
Oh, another signature amp from a guitar player.
I look forward to the cameo video that will no doubt be released alongside this. People listening at home, what did you think of Neural DSP basically paying a lot of people on Cameo to promote their Black Friday sale? I thought it was a bit weird personally, but that's just me.
We're definitely going to do that now. We're paying loads of irrelevant people to be like, I love In the Pocket podcast for bass players.
We really should, like it's someone from EastEnders or
Should we just get people we actually know to set up a cameo just for this?
I think we should do a cameo.
Should we just add the watermark at the bottom?
Yeah. I think we should set up a cameo in the link tree of the podcast. Like, we'll put it on like the cheapest setting, like a quid or something like that.
No one's going to do it.
I think we should do it. I genuinely think we should do it. And it's just, we will say horrible things about your playing for a small
absolutely.
Fee.
Absolutely. Going to slag off your setup big time.
Roast my rig.
Yeah. Incredible.
Anyway, my most exciting, please, your go on.
My most exciting release of the year, I think, is the Ashdown Roasted series. I think it's really stepped up the game and showed like what the UK can do as well, you know, like designing this amazing range of really unique but really, really solid bases that, you know, look great, sound great. There's a great combination of colors in there. Like I said, it's just something different that is a standard. It takes a lot to do something different at an affordable price point, because no one wants to take a risk, you know, at that, because you have to mass produce it to make any kind of margins, or to, you know, the quantities of scale applied to that to make money on it. You have to go hard or go home. And so massive respect to them. And it's been a big success with loads and loads of pre-orders, etc., going in. So yeah, very, very cool. If you didn't know, you can go and check it out on my channel where I've reviewed the whole thing. In short, there's a PGA-based standard. There is a one with a single soap bar pickup, which is really great. That in long scale and a short scale version of that. And then also a double humbucker Thunderbird style bass as well. So yeah, very, very cool, I think. Let us move on to the next topic, which is bass player of the year. Now, who, aside from myself and you, who would you say are the players of the year, Chris?
Oh, that's a shame. I was gonna pick me as well. Oh, got it. My bass player of the year is Mikey Shoes from Queens of the Stone Age.
Uh-huh.
Because I genuinely think he might be the coolest man alive at the moment. Ooh. Which is a bold move when you're in a band with Josh Homme. But yeah, I went to see them. I re-got back into Queens of the Stone Age like earlier this year. Watched the Glastonbury footage and I was like, this is cool. Then went to see them a couple of weeks ago on the tour and I was like, yep, this is amazing. Really sick bass lines, looks really cool. Very, very, very cool bass collection on tour. Nice short scale basses. There was like a Mustang, a jazz bass and a P bass. All of them look super cool. Yeah, I'm giving it to him. However, I do have an honourable mention, which I'm going to sneak in really quickly.
Please do.
I'm going to do a bit of an honourable mention, and it's two people technically, I am sorry. So my honourable mentions, and there's a reason why they're paired together, is I'm going to give it an honourable mention to Amos Heller and Ian Allison.
Oh.
For a few specific reasons. So, right. Reason one, we had Ian on the podcast, obviously, last. Really good episode. Not only because of like the tones and answering the questions, the Star Wars section was obviously amazing as well. It was really good for me to basically sit and ask questions to someone who has been doing what I do for a living more than me, basically. It felt really good, and it kind of made me feel like coming out the back of the episode, I was like, maybe you are doing it right. And maybe you are actually on the right path here, Chris, and it's not a complete mess every day, which is kind of how I feel with a lot of my work stuff, because you fly blind with this job. There's no BTEC in how to actually be a session musician. You've got to kind of work it out yourself. So it was nice to sit and chat with Ian and kind of have a realization of like, oh, I am actually on the correct path. I'm just on step one of the ladder, and he's on step like, I don't know, 20. Because he's just been the difference is time. There's just more time,
and there's no right or wrong, you know, exactly.
And then the Amos thing is basically the exact same thing. I listened to the SBL podcast episode where Ian and Amos were talking about all things session musician, and again, it was very refreshing to hear someone who's arguably at the top of the game. I mean, plays bass for bloody Taylor Swift. I don't think it gets much bigger than that. And basically just like his problems were almost the same as my problems, and how he dealt with those problems is the same as I deal with my problems. So for those two conversations, I would like to give them to an honourable mention of making me feel like I'm actually doing my job okay.
That's amazing. Yeah, well, you know, it's good to have these people seem relatable then as well. So like, oh, that's just like
that's the word I was trying to find the word in my head, but the you know, the relatableness of those two people having those conversations was very refreshing, and it was very encouraging for me, and I hope everyone at home as well. If you're on a similar, if you're trying to do what I do for a living,
Oosh.
I wouldn't have owe you, but yeah. Anyway, who's your player of the year, Johnny?
My player of the year is purely
Matt Parker.
Yes. It's purely kind of a selfish thing at the same time where I'm just like, this guy is so cool.
Is it yourself?
Oh, yes. I don't even have the cameras like properly set up here. I've just got a mirror. Oh, I'm basically just looking at myself the whole time. I'm like, oh, fuck.
You're like that meme of Dennis Reynolds where it's like me just checking myself out in the Zoom meeting. Like.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Anyway, please continue with your bass player of the year, good sir.
I'd like to give this to Fernando Rosa. You might not recognize his name, or at least I see, it's one of those things where you see an Instagram handle, and it's because it's just all combined into one long word. I'm like, what? Wait, actually, what is his name? He is this guy. He popped up earlier in the episode because he did the demos for these 70s Stingrays. And I was like, oh, there he is. I'm going to talk about him in a little bit. If you don't know him, go and check him out on Instagram. He basically just does load of playing along to a load of vintage kind of 70s style tracks, and he is just like the outfits, the basses he has. He'll play a bass and I'll be like, well, now I want that bass. He's got a Explorer at the minute, and I'm like, wow, I want another Explorer now. What the hell? But he's so cool. Like, he just brings so much energy and like an excitement to it. It's one of those things where I see him and I'll watch the whole thing every time, and I'm just like really engaged all the time. And he's just playing and just having a little dance whilst playing, but it's just a lot of fun, I think. And no one has ever made me want leather trousers as much as him. So yeah,
that's the sign of an effective demoer. You know, you do the demo and you want the product.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what he was demoing.
Exactly. I think there's a lot to be said about it. There's a lot of people who do kind of like product demos or talk about products in a specific way, and they're kind of selling themselves playing the product.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we went to Ashdown, we were playing the Roasted Series, and we were playing the Little Bastard and a few other amps. And me and you were saying, Are we being a bit boring here? Like, you know, we were saying to the guys at Ashdown, like, is this what you want? Like, are we not being a bit, surely, you know, because we've been lied to by the internet, basically, about being like, if you can't do this insane double thumb tapping lick, then you're rubbish at bass. But they were saying, no, just playing normal bass parts through the product is what we want to hear. So that's my excuse now. Whenever I play something really mediocre in a video going forward, I'm going to be like, well, actually, it's about the product.
Yeah.
Well,
someone commented on a video true, though. Today. They commented on a video today saying, I don't think it's the product that's not very good. I actually just think that the player needs more practice. I was like,
oh, thanks. No.
I love it when they comment on it thinking that I don't see it. Like, they talk about, like, oh, him, oh, that guy. And I'm
yeah.
Like, that's me.
You really do get it in the ear, you online, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're somewhat passionate and British and excited about things, or like, say, one opinion, someone's like, no, then yeah, that's it. You get it.
And I feel like with YouTube, people can hide behind a screen even more because their profile isn't really a profile, or it is, but like...
No, of course. No, the profile is just an email address for YouTube. It's not like, you know, if you have a go at me on Instagram, I can click on your profile, unless you've curated your profile to be quite anonymous.
I can see your name.
I can work out roughly where you live. You know, I know like what you have for breakfast this morning. I will track you down and I will kill you.
Exactly. Whereas on YouTube, it's just like Mr. Base User. Face 96,
you know, and things like that.
Oh, I've been rumbled.
Yeah. but yeah, it's you know, you can just hide behind this extra layer.
I don't like Johnny Dibble 2K20.
Fair enough.
Nah.
He does. Speaking of things we do like,
exactly, yes. And where's their video, I might add?
Yeah, exactly. Screw you.
Exactly. Yeah, show me your video and then we'll talk. Yeah. Oh no, you're not going to do one. There we go.
Brilliant. Okay, just stay out of it.
Next up, what do we think is our favourite tone of the year?
Ooh, this was tricky for me, actually, I'll be honest, because I don't listen to music. No, really don't. Like, I really don't. It's funny. I just don't consume music.
It could be your own tone, or one that's been brought onto this podcast.
Ooh, that's a very good point.
Do you want me to go through mine first?
Yeah, because I've got a few I'll mention, and one of them is me, but we'll get to that.
Nice. All the answers are me. My favourite tone of the year actually comes from a band called Movements. I went to see them only a couple of weeks ago, actually, in Bristol. They're an American band. Very, not like pop punky, but like alternative, a bit shoegazy in some bits. But they're very, very lively. Very good band. I like them a lot. Kind of like Story So Far style thing, okay. But less... loud, a bit more melodic maybe. Anyway, really like that band, and from their latest album there's a song called Lead Pipe which has a bass intro, and the tone is super aggressive and really gnarly and just sounds great. Sounds really, really good. It was one of those ones I was like, oh yeah, that was the first hit popped into my head as a bass tone I've heard this year and gone yes, and can confirm he replicates it perfectly live as well. Because I was like, waiting for that song specifically. I was like, oh, how's this going to sound? And with the gear I can see he's using, what's going to happen? Yeah. And yeah, sounded really, really good. It's basically, from what I know, or from what he was using live as well, it's a P bass into a Sans amp with a rat, an actual rat pedal, compression, I think. And then he was using a Fender Bassman and an Ampeg cab. I don't know if that's what's used on the recording, of course, but I know it's a rat and a Sans amp. It sounded really, really good. Obviously, the rat is known for sucking a bit of low end, but I'm guessing he's compensating that with the Sans amp a little bit.
Yeah, must be giving it back afterwards.
Yes, giving it back. A good old boy.
Giving it back. Paying it forward.
And there was a moment where, because we all kind of stood quite far back, because we're old now, and I was next to the sound desk, and then I could see the sound man. When the bass intro started playing, he just looked around the other sound guys and was going, he was nodding, going, yes, yeah.
Was he doing the face? You know, like, I'll take the glasses off for this, but, you know, just sat there going.
Yeah, big time stank.
Very nice. Mm. That's what we need.
Yeah, looking around the others. Like, he was like, yeah, we did that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, he'd be nothing without me. Yeah.
I've turned him up loads for this, but nice. So yeah, that was probably what I would say was my favourite tone of the year that I've heard.
Very nice. Do you have any others, or is that your main one?
That's my main one. I'm going to go with that.
Lovely. I'm going to be a bit weird. I've got a few.
No change there then.
In terms of nice dab there.
Thank you.
In terms of releases, I'm going to give it the most tone I've really enjoyed is on the new Architects single, which is called Seeing Red.
Oh.
There is a section in verse 2 where it goes down to bass, drums, and vocal. And it's quite an interesting bass tone. And I mean this in a good way. It kind of sounds like shit, but in a really, really good way. It kind of sounds like a... a DI that's just absolutely redlining, you know, like completely oversaturated and peaking in a channel. And I really like it. It sounds like, I mean, on the video, Ali, the bass player for Architects, is playing like a super P, like a four-string super P, and he's absolutely caning it with a pick. So I'm guessing it's kind of that tone, but it's really overdriven, but in like kind of like a not a pedal way, kind of just a. It's genuinely, I feel like it's like they've taken a Sans amp, turned everything up on full, ran it into a channel, peaked the channel and peaked the preamp and recorded that.
Wow.
And I really like it. And then it goes into like a breakdown. It's very cool. So I'll give you that. Alongside that, I went to see a couple of my friends' bands play a couple of weeks ago. My friend Matty plays in a band called The Great Nothing. If you like Sleem Talking Johnny, you might like them, actually. But Matty was playing the same Dingwall as me, an NG2 in black, not that that really matters, into a quad cortex. And the bass tone was just fantastic. Like, really, really, really great. It was very, like, it was that zingy Dingwall tone that we all know and love, whether we like it or not. And it just fit the space really well. It was a great live bass tone. And I am currently downloading the preset that he made for it.
I was just
going to
say, like, you've got the tools.
And I've got a very... Exactly, and it's quite likely I am just going to nick that preset for the tour with Darla that starts in the end of January. And to finish off, speaking of Darla, personally, just as a quick one, I am very happy with the bass tone for the Darla EP. If you want an example of kind of what it sounds like, if you go to our track Sequel in verse 2, it's kind of just bass and drums for a little bit, and then the guitars come back in. But that'll give you kind of like an idea of the isolated bass tone. But yes, I'm very happy with it. And yeah, I'm going to leave that as some of my tones of the year.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I forgot to include myself in this as well. I think one of my favourite...
Oh, please do. I did.
My favourite tone I've had myself this year. I played at Teddy Rocks Festival. And I was just playing fully my rig and my bass, of course, but like it just sounded really, really good that night. And I was like, oh my God. And through the speakers that we had there as well, it was my Fujigen Jazz going into the Dark Glass E500 Sans amp ahead of it as well. And then just through my Ashdown cab, and it just all sounded brilliant. And like through the wedges that they had at the front, really, really nice setup that they had there. Sound unreal. The best sound I've had all year. So like,
it's so nice when that happens. Yeah. When you're like, your tone that you've been working on, and then, because I have this all the time, it's like I'll be at a venue and I'm like, it's not quite right, but logistically there's nothing I can do about this because we don't have a proper sound check, or yes, it's not quite right, but there's nothing I can do because, let's be honest, it's a wedding, it just needs to be set up, and if it sounds fine, it is fine. But yep, I'm sat there going, oh, I could really, really would like a bit more mid-range today. Yeah. And that kind of thing. But then when you get it, when you just look in, it's like the light. Like, I've been doing a lot of gigs this month with the exact same PA, and we've been quite lucky where we've been able to get into a venue when there's no one in there, and we've had a good hour.
Brilliant.
To kind of like, it takes 15 minutes to plug everything in, and it's like 45 minutes of just kind of being a bit nerdy and having a laugh. So I've been able to sit there and get like the guitarist of the band to like play my rig while I sit with the quad cortex and go, oh yeah, you know what, that's not quite right, that is too much low end and it's too boomy. I've been able to kind of do a bit of EQ in, and for that PA now it sounds great, it sounds really good in all the right places. But and then you play better. I always play better when I'm like, I'm having a good tone day. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. It transcends from the ears down into the fingers, for sure.
Absolutely.
Right, next one. Speaking of...
Last one?
There's two more, baby. This one is best pedal of the year. I think I know what yours is going to be, actually. Do you want to go first?
Would you like to guess?
Is it going to be from a company that we visited this year?
I don't think we've been to the Dark Glass Factory, Johnny. No, you're right. It is a company we went to visit. It is the... I'm giving it to the Ashdown Triple Shot, genuinely. I really, really, really liked that pedal. It kind of did that X7 crossover distortion, but it did it in a slightly different way, where I just, even using my Dingwall, I really enjoyed how it was like, obviously super distorted and a massive sounding, but not in that modern metal way. It kind of just sounded like a big tubey valve amp getting absolutely pummeled by some good old distortion. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed that pedal. Really liked it. I hope to have one in my grimy little ginger hands one day. And it was great.
Yeah,
really big fan. No complaints.
Yeah, it's what I'm using at the minute for my live rig, because all the drive is coming from that. Cause it's just so good. Yeah. It's so adaptable and so simple as well. Like, it just makes so much sense.
Very simple. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's all killer, no filler, almost, with that. Where it's just what you want. It's not got any other bells and whistles on it. It is just that control, bass, middle, treble, and then how much distortion you have on each of those bits of EQ. So yeah,
exactly. It does one thing, cool. And it does it really well.
Yeah,
and I'd say that's quite. Sometimes that can be quite rare for pedals now. I find
they try to do
like
everything.
A lot of pedals are like, we're trying to do, you know, we're a compressor, we're an EQ, we're a drive, we're a modulation, we're a cab sim. You know, like, or you know, big modeling units like the HX Stomp or the full HX unit or the Kemper or the Quad Cortex or the Fractal units. You know, there's so many things trying to, like, we need to do everything really well. And that is great, don't get me wrong, especially from a bang for your buck perspective. But it's nice as well to kind of like, it's like when you go to a restaurant, you ask for the wine list and they go, we got red and we got white. And we do lager on draft. And that's literally it. It's kind of like, oh, nice. There's no option paralysis. That triple shot, it does, we do this and we just do it really well. And you almost can't get it wrong. Like, yeah, you know, even if you set everything at 12, it sounds great. You take all the mid-range out, sounds great. You boost the treble, sounds great. Too much low end, still sounds good. Yeah, good pedal.
It's a jack of one trade, master of all, you know?
Correct.
And that's why we love it.
How about you?
I'm going to give this to the Origin Effects DCX. Really, really fancy, really great preamp and drive. It's not preamp and drive in the way that you'd expect. It's a preamp or drive. You've got a little toggle on there to change it from a very nice, warm preamp based on Universal Audio. Oh, I can't remember the name of the preamp. 610, is it? Oh, no, that's a compressor, isn't it? I can't remember.
I don't know
vintage gear, outboard gear too much, but it's what it's based on. And it is, like, even if you just... It does that noble DI thing where you just play that straight into the DI and, you know, through the pedal, and it sounds really great and super warm and saturated and, you know, tubey almost. So I really, really like it for that. But then you can use it as a drive pedal as well. If you switch it over to the drive, it just makes it more... exciting and works better than with other pedals as well. So it's a really adaptable pedal. It's about £200, I think. It's quite a lot, but it is, it's a high-end pedal from a high-end company, and it's very, very cool. And it can be used in, sounds great in all the ways that it's used, I think. So yeah, I'm going to give it to that one. Lovely, lovely.
Very, very nice. I enjoyed that pedal when I got to play it briefly. Were we at Bass Bros when we plugged that in? I think we were.
Yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that pedal. I think it's a very good pedal and an excellent choice for your pedal of the year.
Yes. Likewise, marvelous stuff. Next up, what is, Chris, your best bass of the year?
Ooh, tricky one, because I got to be honest, I haven't played a lot of basses that aren't just my basses that I've had for ages for work. But since it also needed to be a bass that came out this year, I'm going with the Mikey Way Jazz Bass. I wish I'd bought it, you know, as time goes on.
Really?
I love the P bass that I bought. Don't get me wrong. I'm not regretting the P bass at all. I've got flats on it at the moment, and it's a dream. It's I don't think I will get a better P bass with flats kind of thing now. I think that corner of my arsenal as a player is boxed off. I don't think I need to go thinking about I need a bass with flats now. Yeah. That's I nailed.
Mean, you were nailed not, you down. Weren't going to put flats on the Mikey Way, were you? Like, it wasn't going to tickle that.
No, that'd itch. Be ridiculous. Yeah.
It's they kind of serve different things. And for what you were looking for, you made the right decision, I think.
Absolutely. But if I had enough money to buy two basses, or let's say I'd sold the Iridine, I think I am going to sell the Iridine because I'm clearly not particularly interested in touching it. So I think I might just get rid. I would have bought the Mikey Way, genuinely. Yeah. I was really, really impressed with that bass. And my girlfriend reminds me constantly that I should have bought it. Not because of the neck, not because of the pickups, not because of the weight or the playability, but because it was shiny.
Yes, 100%. I mean, if it was a black bass, let's be honest, you'd be like, yeah, it's a good bass, but I'm not really that interested in it.
But the shiny does go a long way.
It does.
It was, and but it did genuinely play really well. It played really well. Felt nice in the hand. The neck was really nice. Pickups were great. Sounded good. Nice and easy. Bit heavy, but not enough to be a massive problem. It was a really great bass. I wish I had the money to have bought that and the Mikey Way, because it was fantastic.
It was really, really good. I can confirm I really liked that bass. It's my favourite SIG I've played in a long time as well.
Me too. That's worth saying.
The Pete Wentz is very good though.
But anyway, I haven't played the Pete Wentz though, because I don't live near you, so I can't play it.
Well, I might mention the Pete Wentz now. It's going to be a runner-up, actually, in my best bass of the year. That is an honourable mention to the Pete Wentz bass. I think it does a lot of great stuff, and it stands, you know, for like affordability and like, yes, let's keep it here at this price point. Let's not go crazy. Big respect.
It's a great price. Yeah, it's clearly a great bass. Even though I haven't played it, you can tell it's great.
It's really, really good. So I would give that an honourable mention.
Okay,
I'm going to give the full award to the Squire Rascal, though.
Oh,
short scale, offset, double humbucking bass. Man, I often think about the bridge pickup on that bass. It's so good. It's so good. I'm almost tempted to go, because, you know, I borrowed one from Fender to review. I'm almost tempted to go out and buy one for myself, because I'm like, oh, that was really good. It was so
interesting.
Good. So yeah, I would really recommend people checking out that bass. The neck pickup, I'm kind of it was kind of like too dark and muddy-ish for me. But that's the position of that pickup in any bass. Like, that's just what that does. But the bridge, whoa, Nelly, sounded brilliant. And short scale as well, ticks that box. Really, really cool. Really, very cool. The other category I was thinking of was the worst bass of the year that I just thought
Ooh,
about.
I don't think I've tried anything. Oh, no, you know what? I have tried something that I thought was quite shocking.
Oh, I think I know what this might
be. Okay. You can go first.
Okay. I'm going to give this to, unfortunately, I think I have to give it, I'm just trying to think about what I've played this year. I've got two. One is the Harley Benton Thunderbird. Do not like that bass. The review for that will be coming out this week, so that's kind of a spoiler.
I love it when you do a review of something and you think it's crap.
Yeah.
That's not done enough.
No. And
I've been sent this, so I have to say it's good. And you're like, no,
I've been sent two things this year that I reviewed that I didn't think were that good. One of which,
I remember Patrick Hunter got the Mike Kerr signature bass, and basically just really professionally said, this is naff.
Yeah, and that's really rare for him, because he often is just like very, it's good positive things. And a lot of the comments are like, seeing this. Balances out, you know.
It's got to be done, because it's, you know, if you lied and said, I really like this pedal, and someone bought it and went, this is rubbish.
Yeah.
you'd be like, I have technically misled that person for money now, and I don't really like that.
It is your credibility. And that's what I always say to companies, caveat, if I don't like it, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
A lot of people will be like, oh, I don't review things I don't like. It's like, well, that's not really the point of you being there.
Yeah, like, I've seen a lot of people say, like, if I don't like the product, I let them know and go, I'm going to send it back. And we'll just not do the review. But I would rather go, you've sent me this, I will do you a honest and professional and nice review. But if the stuff I don't like, I am going to include it with the things I do like.
Yeah,
it's 100%. A review. You don't watch a film and go, it was amazing. There was no story and all the characters were terrible, but the CGI was good.
Oh wow, but it looked amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the other ones I had this year was I had a Warwick. I can't remember the name of it now. It cost over £1,000. Didn't feel worth it.
Okay. Okay.
And the other worst one was the Epiphone Newport short scale. When you put that up against the Squire, the Squire blows it out of the water. I think that bass just didn't sound that good. It felt fine, but not amazing. And for that price point, I think, especially with Epiphone, they really need to step that up. So I was excited for it, but it just did not perform well for me. So I'm going to give it to all of those. Why not? It wasn't a real category, so sold it.
There That's fair. Fair enough.
And you, sir, what was yours?
It was the Flea bass that I tried at Bass Bros. I thought it was crap.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of people in the comments were like, oh yeah, I like that the best. But like in the room, it sounded terrible.
Well, not even that. I can let it off for the sound, but it just didn't feel nice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not for me, maybe. But I played it and was like, I don't like this at all. Like, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Not for me, thank you.
No. No good. But there we go. There are our short but sweet kind of like awards for the year. We'll do something similar in the new year, I think, for like what we're most looking forward to. I maybe do like a NAMM special or something like that when all the new stuff gets announced. And that's all very exciting. So we will catch up about all that kind of stuff very soon. Shall we move on to the next segment?
Certainly. It's time. I hope you've all been good this year, because I haven't. It's time for us to read your Christmas lists. And we've got a pretty good selection here. I'm not going to lie. There's some good stuff. So basically, I'm going to lift back the veil here. I am just reading the comments on the post that you all very nicely commented on a few weeks ago.
Nothing wrong with that,
man. A time in the past.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have loaded up every comment. If for whatever reason I've missed someone off, it's because your comment hasn't loaded up on Instagram.
It's because you've been very bad this year.
It's because I've gone through your account and you need to work on your technique. So no base for you. Right. In no particular order, because I don't think Instagram doesn't load comments in order anymore.
No, I think you can do latest.
It's like the ones that got the most likes go up. But I've got it set to like latest and it's still not done. So I'm going to read for a few people. We'll list a few thoughts every now and again. And then we'll send this off to the big man once we finish recording. So this has come in from Big Chris 76. Hello, Big Chris.
Is this your second account?
Is this me? It's Beards way nicer than mine. Yeah. Shout out Big Chris. Impressive venue. Oh, you played at the Rigger the other day. No, in November. Still though, very cool. Anyway, Big Chris. Dear Santa, just the Goliath effects I strive to give them sweet tones of joy. Can't beat it. Can't beat the ice drive.
I'll wrap Johnny's it up got now while... send it on. No. Sorry,
well, that's the black ice. That's a different pedal, isn't it?
It's the same.
Is it just a different colour?
Just a different colour.
Oh, I thought they were two different pedals. I'm sorry. But yes, the Goliath FX Ice Drive. I have the black ice still. And it's a great pedal. Big
Very
fan.
Good.
An excellent thing to find at the bottom of your tree.
Good choice.
Moving on. Pattern bass one. Pretty simple. Jack Cassidy bass in black, please. Good shout. Good shout.
Yes. Also a bass I've reviewed that I've gone, yeah, I want to get one of these. I want to get one of these. Yep. They're so good.
Great choice.
I am gonna get a hollow body / short scale in the future. Again, ooh, like that Mustang we tried at Bass Bros, that was really great too. That's another one. If I had enough money, probably would have just grabbed that as well because it was great.
Great.
But we can't have everything. Okay, next up, Unwin Andy. Where to start? One of those rock board pedal boards, maybe an Ashdown Ant, and a HX Stomp. That's my first few thoughts. That's a rig, that. That is a rig.
That is stunning. That
all you need then is a DI box, and you'd be, oh, stunning.
I'm not going to lie to you. That's the exact board I'm building later today.
Sorry. Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got the rock board on the floor here. The Ant's on it. The HX Stomp is unplugged there to put them together.
And it's not a bad rig. Yeah, I'm having a very good time with the Quad Cortex and the Ant. That really, really is everything I need. I struggle to find something else. But I would actually like a new rock board because I think I'd like to go a little bit bigger. Or a little bit smaller. I'm just deciding at the moment. But if you're listening, boys, help me out.
Go on, boys.
Next up, we have Andy Clark Kent. Dear Santa, this Christmas will be a lean one due to the need to save up for my wedding. My condolences. However, I would love to get the Ampeg SGT DI preamp.
Oh, another not new a bad release shout. For this year.
Another new release. A very good pedal. No complaints, really. If I see one floating around, I would like to give one a go because I've got a feeling it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'd like to compare it to the Origin FX one. Be cool.
Absolutely. I think it'd be... Yeah, that's a good shout, actually, because they're both kind of like SVT kind of things. Next up, Thomas Grant. Dear Santa, my back is finished using a guitar strap for my basses. Rider strap and some Dunlops would do me greatly.
Nice. You're not asking
they would.
For much.
You should do that.
That's achievable. I think we'll send that on.
Yeah, come on, Santa. We'll send that on. That's like 30 quid tops. Sorted. Yeah,
should be able to sort you out. Should be fine.
No wrong. I mean, I do technically use a guitar strap for my basses, and I might get a thicker padded one. But
we say guitar strap. It's just a strap, right? There's no like guitar strap, bass strap.
Yeah,
there's thick
bass
ones.
Straps are like a bit thicker and a bit wider. Yeah. But I'd like to get like a nice level one and just get a bit of comfort going. But like the old man I am. But next up, this is Ryan. Ryan H, 91289. Dear Father Christmas, I've been a very good boy. Dear Father Christmas, I've been a very good boy. That I want a Spectre Euro 4, please.
Wow, you have to be a very good,
very nice,
very good boy to have on the boats.
You've got to be very good for. You've got to be a very good for Spectre Euro 4.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
fair play.
It's a good shout. It's a good shout. Can't go wrong.
Do you know what? I've only ever played one Spectre, and I love
them. I've never played one.
And the one I played, I didn't really like, but I really like Spectres.
Oh, no.
I'll say it's only because I didn't love... It was a four-string PGA. I don't know. It didn't really do anything for me, but I love the sound of the majority of them.
I know, me too. Yeah.
I'd really like to play Euro one as well.
Yeah. Love it. Don Brock or Bass Tone, big fan.
Hello.
Yeah. Next... This is Lewis the Bat. Dear, this is very polite, by the way. Dear Santa, I would be very grateful if you could give me an Ernie Ball Music Man Stingray 5 in vintage sunburst with an all maple neck and fretboard for Christmas, please. I would also like an Ernie Ball Music Man Stingray 5 in vintage sunburst with an all maple neck and fretboard for Christmas, please. That is a great shout.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds bloody lovely. I do want... A five-string Stingray would be very, very nice in my collection.
That is a good shout. I'm a big fan. Okay, next. This is... I really hope I pronounced your name right, Ryan. It's Ryan Badoric. I really hope that's the correct pronunciation. It is B-A-D-O-R-R-E-K. So I feel like I'm right there. If I'm wrong, I'm terribly sorry. You just never told me how to say your name. So there we go. Hey, Santa. Hey, I've done my best this year and feel like I've been pretty good.
That's honest.
I just started practicing bass and I would love an effects pedal. I have a tuner that is satisfying to step on, but I really want to start getting into effects. I'm not even sure where to start, so I'm up for whatever you recommend. Thanks for reading this. your pal Ryan.
Ah.
Zoom B3, nice. Maybe
I
for Ryan?
I was just going to say, the Zoom B3, they do a smaller one, which is like a multi-stomp, which is only like one thing that you click on, so you're going to have one effect at a time. But if you want to try a load of effects, that's great. Velton do some really good multi-effects unit as well. Check that out. GT.
I played the 100, but I think there's like the 200 out now or whatever, so I'd recommend those. You've of course got the Line 6 HX stomp. They're more expensive though, so if you're looking at just trying to get into it, I'd recommend a cheaper alternative to find out what you
absolutely
like.
But if you could find a secondhand HX stomp for like, what are they going for secondhand, like £300-400?
Ooh, are they not like £300-400 new?
I thought they were about £500 new.
Gosh, maybe.
I don't know.
Oh wait, I think you're right, because I got mine secondhand for about that price, I think.
Right. But if you can find one of those near you, that's a winner. Like, you know, you really have got everything you need there. Absolutely. Yeah. Next up, this is Charles Ragmack, otherwise known as, I believe it's going to be pronounced Coffee Illusion on Instagram. He said, "Dear Santa, if I could get a proper leather strap that will last till my grandson uses it and a pedal board, I would be all set."
Fantastic.
You would be all set.
That's brilliant.
Absolutely, can't be argued with.
I'm assuming this person has a grandson, or are they grandson pending?
Like, are they assuming? I'm going to go with, I mean, I had a quick poke around in his Instagram, and I'm going to say it's grandson pending.
Okay,
I might be wrong. There is a picture of his cat, a cat on his profile though, so maybe he means the cat.
A leather strap for a cat. Perfect.
Absolutely. Powering through, James Canning, otherwise known as Jimbo AC. Right, let me read, because my eyesight's going. I am also wearing sunglasses indoors, so I can't see anything at the moment. "Dear Santa, I would love, love, love a Squire 70s classic vibe jazz bass. I've been a really good boy practicing every other day and making sure I catch all of Johnny Dibbles and That Guy on Bass's content and In the Pocket casts." Thanks very much, mate. "Failing that, a couple of sets of Ernie Ball Hybrid Slinky, 45 to 105, would be great, and any other bass related swag. Merry Christmas, Johnny Dibble, That Guy on Bass, Christmas tree emoji, Father Christmas emoji, Rockside emoji."
Oh,
very nice.
You will get everything that you wanted for that lovely, lovely comment.
Absolutely. All the presents for James. Merry Christmas to you too.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Someone called Part Time Wizards commented saying, "I wish my beard looked like that." Yep, same. "Bass with Lemon, dear Santa, I would love an Analog Alien bass station and an Ashdown Pro DI.
Ooh.
Would rather that than my two front teeth." I don't know, mate, your two front teeth are quite important.
Well, maybe you'll fight me for one.
Exactly.
See if you can win it.
Exactly.
I don't know that Alien one. Am I being dim?
You don't, even do I. What's that?
Once we go through, what was it called? The Alien...
It was called the Analog Alien Base Station.
I love the name.
That is a lovely name. Are you having a Google?
Yeah, I do not recognise this pedal.
Neither do I.
Okay, it's an amp generator, Gamma Fuzz, and Limiter all in one. Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, don't
now,
recognise
that. I want one of those now.
It's pretty cool. About £360 on Hanston's. So
how much?
£360.
Wow, it better be good.
Yeah, you got to be a good boy for that.
You got to be a very good boy for that. All right. How do I pronounce your name? This is Lorenzo, as said. "Dear Santa, since I've been an adorable, lovely good boy this year..." Listen, we'll be the judge of that, pal. "I would love to receive under my Christmas tree a couple of sets of Dear Dario nickel wound strings, 45 to 100, ooh, and a wide bass strap to relieve my poor back. Good shout. Good present choice and good strings of choice, in my opinion, as well.
Wide bass, thin strings, you know." Well,
absolutely. I'm a Dia Dario. I'm a nickel wound. I'm a 45 to 105 guy.
Yeah,
however,
me too.
Not going to say no to a few 100s. Okay, next, firing up. This is Toby Doherty, who has said, "Dear Santa, I'd like a Fender Ventura 2 60s jazz bass in Fiesta Red, a Fender Rumble 40s amp, and a Fender Jaguar bass in Dakota for good measure."
Ooh, very nice. I love it.
You've got to be very good for all that. That's a setup and half. Yeah. Banging.
That's pretty cool. I like that. Oh, I like there's two high-end, you know, quite expensive basses going into a Fender Rumble. But
I respect that. Fine. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the Rumble. I gigged a 2x10 Rumble.
Yeah.
At that Jam Night gig I used to do for ages. Loved it. Great venue.
410 cab. Yeah. And the 500 head. Brilliant. Brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the Fender Rumble. You get a lot of people going, should I get something more expensive? Nope. Because it's really good. All right. Next, we have David Longdren, who has said, a 64 jazz bass, please. A 64 jazz bass, please. A 64 jazz bass, please. Oh, and an Ampeg V4B. Nice.
Well, wait.
So you want 2 64 jazz basses. You've got to be specific with St. Nick. That is a bit much. This one is a little bit... this one's a little bit more reasonable. Again, I apologize if I've pronounced this wrong. This is Daggy? Daggy? Maybe? D-A-G-I? again, if I've pronounced that wrong, I am sorry. He has said, "Dear Bass Santa, I would love a Dark Glass Alpha Omega to go with my new Warwick Rock Bass Streamer. My wife got me."
Wow, that's a lovely wife.
That's a good. Yeah, absolutely.
You might be in with a chance of getting that under your tree.
Exactly, and also, what a good tone combo that would be.
Yeah, really, really.
I think that'd be pretty sick. Right, ripping through. This is Ron. Ron has asked for, "All I need is the Rockboard Mod 5 with CAD Sim or the Sonic Cake IR pedal, and I'm good to go."
Yeah, I've got both. Not to brag, but here we go. Got both of those. I would recommend the Rockboard.
Really? And how is the CAD Sim on the Rockboard? Is it good?
Yeah, it is good. It's got like 10 different CAD Sims on there, two of which.
Can you load an IR into it?
Good question. I think you can, you know.
Ooh. Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
Well, I would have thought you'd know this, Johnny.
I know.
Disappointing.
I can't remember.
God.
Please, go through the next one. I will quickly have a physical look for you.
Very well. Well, next up, this is Jose, or Jose. "Dear Santa, I would like a Zoom B6 pedal." Yep. Can't go wrong with that. A great choice. Yeah. We're going to move on. Still going to be clear. Go on. Yes.
I have the answer. Yes, you can load. There is a USB port on the back of it. So yes, you can.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
I do actually.
Not really a Christmas list submission. Maybe it is. Jordan Ray Landers has said the ass slap with a emoji. Maybe he wants you to slap his ass for Christmas. Who knows?
I'll slap his big booty, Judy. For sure.
Very good. Very good indeed. That's why they pay you the big bucks. We are almost there now. This one is from some dickhead. That guy on bass.
That bellend on bass. Nice.
Yeah, let's see what this idiot wants now. "Dear Santa." God, pretentious. "This year, I would like some Pelly Rode cases for my touring gear. The really cool thing Ashdown Amps are bringing out soon. And for the imposter syndrome to go away." Aww.
No, you can't ask for Santa to take away things. He will only give. You can't ask shed loads more.
Santa is getting you therapy for Christmas. Very nice. Next up, we have good old Danny Higgins. He said, "Dear Santa, I've been a good boy-ish for Christmas. I would like some of those sweet..." How is this pronounced? Is this Olintor strings?
How has this man been good?
How is it pronounced? Is it Olintor strings? Olintor strings?
Olintor, yeah.
Okay, Olintor, yeah. "I would like some of those sweet Olintor strings, a nice rat that's smaller than my rat tail, and a purple overwater. Oh, some sick paying gigs would be nice too." Yeah, they would be nice, wouldn't they? I'd like some sick paying gigs as well.
Nice. But Christmas for that means the gigs are probably all going to be at the North Pole. Do you really want to take your bases?
Yeah, and the travel on
that
will
condition.
Be a nightmare.
Yeah, no, really.
Absolutely. Next up is good old Chaz, a.k.a. Blood Eagle 94. "Dear Father Christmas, I would very much like a lottery win for copious amounts of bases and to pay the hefty tag on a Ken Smith BSR5. Oh, and if it's not too much to ask, a few packs of those lovely Tension Dunlop Super Bright Nickels."
I love that. It's like, if it's not too much to ask, some strings as well. Apart from winning the lottery and a Ken Smith.
Exactly, exactly.
That answer is the best. You know, it's like if you have three wishes, what do you ask for? A million wishes.
True.
You know.
Loads more wishes,
equivalent.
Please. Yeah. All right, next up is Callum Goodway, who has said, "Dear Santa, I would be particularly grateful if you could give me an Ashdown roasted satin in onyx green.
Ooh.
Also, an honourable shout-out on the podcast." Whoa, well, Callum, we can do that.
Wow.
Consider this one's shout-out.
Are we Father Christmas?
We are. We are now. Daddy Christmas has arrived.
Oh, God.
All right, we are ripping through. All right, Christian Smith, a.k.a., I hope it's pronounced, Scoggin bassist. I really do.
Scoggin.
He said, "Dear Santa, I have been a very good boy this year, and I would like a Dark Glass Infinity. Some new 4-meter bass cables, right angle jacks, Neutrix." Bit picky, mate. All right. "And some new strings and a setup for my Yamaha." Can't be denied. 4-meter cable, absolutely. You've got to get the longest cables you can. Absolutely. Yeah. And right angle is the way. I don't make the rules.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You look like a champ.
Exactly. I want me some right angle XLR cables. I need to find some of those.
Yeah, the buggers they are. Buggers.
They are.
Thank you very much. Previous guest on the pod, Christian.
Indeed. All right. And the last two. Second to last, and by no means least, it's that good old boy, Matt Parker bass. "Dear Santa, I'd love a 66 jazz bass, please." I'm sure you would, mate. I'm sure you would.
Of course.
And finally, Harvey Baldwin. "Dear Santa, I would love a Warwick Corvette 6-string bass, please, and a couple of Alpha basses."
Wow. Well, you've already got one.
And Harvey,
before Christmas,
Harvey,
so.
You've just got one, mate. Be grateful. The answer for that one is no.
Yeah, definitely not good enough this year for another one. Bloody hell.
No, absolutely not. Exactly. Even though the Dalai Lama's not getting two.
Fantastic. Well, what we'll do is we'll compile that list. Thank you so much for getting involved, sending it to us. We'll compile it. We will send it off. Have you got an envelope with the address on it, the stamp?
I do, yep. It's around here somewhere. Yes, I do have one.
Fantastic. We'll send that off and make sure it gets there in time. If you don't get all that stuff, we can only assume that you've been very bad. It's not our fault.
Exactly. Or there has been some sort of postal strike.
Yes, exactly. The elves are on strike. The reindeer
are on
strike.
The elves have unionized.
Yeah. Damn it. No, all pro for unions. Please strike if you can. Yeah, thank you so much for getting involved, everyone. If you want to get involved like these lovely people every week on our posts, etc., and to get involved asking questions, suggesting guests, etc., go and follow us on Instagram at InThePocketPod. If you are watching this on YouTube, please consider subscribing. If you've made it to the end, you might as well subscribe, you know? You've clearly enjoyed the whole time, unless you spent the whole time sat there like, "I hate Christmas." To be fair, if Scrooge is watching this, it's probably what's happening right now. If you are watching this and would like to just listen to this, you can check it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., where you can also leave a 5-star review. Really helps us to do with algorithms and reaching more lovely bass players out there. There's lots of you out there that aren't tuning in yet. So we need to get you listening to this very, very podcast. Chris, my dear, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me literally everywhere under That Guy on Bass. I post videos and stuff. There you go. That's how Instagram works. And please check out my band, Darla. There's a link to that in my Instagram bio and then also at the bottom of the show notes for the episodes. We're going on tour at the end of January. It'd be very nice if I could see some of the people that listen to this pod. I have had quite a few people message going, "I'm going to come to the Bristol one. I'm going to come to the Leeds one. I'm going to come to the other ones on the tour." So yeah, if you plan on coming down, please come and say hello. Please tell me your name and please tell me you know me through the podcast, because otherwise I'll be like, where do I know this person from? And I will think about it for the entire day and I'll feel like I've been a very bad person. So if you want to come and say hello to me, absolutely please do. Absolutely. Unless it's 5 minutes after I'm getting off stage. Please give me 5 minutes to pack my things down. Otherwise, I will be paranoid I've left something
They're
behind.
On stage. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
I'm going to do that at the Bristol show now. I'm absolutely
Please do.
Straight
please
away
do.
On stage. Oh my
Just
God.
Heckle me.
Great great set, bro.
Yeah, great set, bro. To spend the entire time just shouting at me saying Jacko only needed four because playing a ding wall with a pick.
You have to avoid the B string the whole time. Play the octave up.
The whole set's on the B string. Playing a modern metal band, Johnny. I don't go over the fifth fret on the low B. It's technically a low A, but still.
If you want to find myself on the internet, you can do so on Instagram at Johnny Dibble, and exactly the same on YouTube as well. Make sure you subscribe, follow, etc. Like I mentioned, about middle of the episode, I am giving away the Pete Wentz signature Sterling bass at the moment. So if you want to get your grubby little mitts on that one, make sure you enter my competition, where when I reach 10K, which might be a little while, but that's the point, okay?
I don't think it's going to be a long time, you know. I think you'll get there pretty quick.
I don't know. It might be...
Johnny, I blinked and you went from like 6,200 to 7,000.
Yeah, to be fair. All right,
to be fair.
The modesty of me is like, no, I don't think so. I can't imagine that. So make sure you go and enter that competition if you want to win that bass. It's very sought after, so make sure you do that. I think that's it from us here this week. Have a very Merry Christmas if you celebrate it, and a fantastic New Year, where we'll be back with even more guests, etc., for the podcast. So thank you for an amazing year, everyone, and thank you so much for watching. See you next time.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.